that's about, you know how Canary Square, they have the book when you go to
eat there? Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's like, people can write down nonsense in a book for the waiter. So that I went there with my parents for my birthday.
Uh-huh.
And like, my mom went to the bathroom and the guy came with the book and the bill. And like, Dad just kind of opened it to a random page and he started laughing and he showed it to me and it was Dicks Out for Harambe. Dad, I wish I had like 10 hours to explain how funny.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Why Do We Watch This? You are joining us for our mini episode in between the two major episodes. I'm Brendan Drischler.
I'm Chris Raval.
And I'm Leah Delahanty.
Woo! And on our mini episode, we're going to talk about what movie we are doing next for October, a spooktacular movie.
Ooh.
And the spooktacular drink that we're doing.
Ooh.
And then have a spooktacular discussion.
Ooh.
Anyhow, the movie that we are doing next is Francis Ford Coppola's 1992 masterpiece, mm-hmm. Bram Stoker's Dracula. That's right, Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I am so excited. I am ready to die on this hill protecting
it. And we hate it.
Although, I'm willing to change my mind. I'll have to see it again.
Yeah, I was going to say, we haven't all done our individual watches yet.
Well, let's worry about that next time. We also might be having a special ghost joining us. Or should I say guest?
Yeah.
It does say guest.
You should say guest.
I'm sorry.
Ooh.
Well, can we edit this out?
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was an intentional pun.
That's very professional.
I'm sorry. Let's stop and do this over again. Lee.
Welcome to My Watch Podcast.
So the drink that we have planned for Bram Stoker's Dracula is called a bloodbath. It is a sangria, and you will need 2 cups of sliced strawberries, 1 sliced blood orange, 1 sliced lemon, 1 bottle of dry sparkling rosé, 1/4 cup brandy, 3 tablespoons simple syrup, 2 cups seltzer, and some blood orange for garnish.
How many servings does this make?
It's a pitcher.
It's a pitcher, okay.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to getting drunk off of sangria. Did you know it comes from the Spanish word for blood? So up for today, we are going to talk about scary movies and horror movies and Halloween movies and all that sorts of things.
What spook you?
What spook you?
Yes, what spook you indeed. So I guess first we're going to just sort of like shoot the shit about like what horror movies we like.
Yeah,
let's talk about some ones that are good. I think horror movies are almost graded on different rubric from regular movies, right?
Like, totally.
A lot of horror movies don't get like, I mean, has there ever been a horror movie for an Oscar? Like,
yes.
They're just,
yes.
Really? Which one?
Misery.
Do we count that? Well, see, do we count
that's
Silence
sort
of the Lambs?
Like, yeah.
Because I count it as like almost thriller.
I think that there's a lot of character drama going on in those movies that are not always good. Like,
I don't think that negates the horror aspect.
But like,
was The Exorcist nominated?
I think The Exorcist is the closest to like what we would call like a legitimate.
Are we called? Wait, so I mean,
I guess we're already into a discussion. Really,
step one. Okay. The other thing I was going to say is legitimate was the movie which I think we all watched last year, The Innocents, Jack Clayton, 1961.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a ghost, because it's like a ghost story.
Right.
I think like ghosts are like the closest thing that can be like considered. A lot of people call, like, I feel like by default a lot of people put horror movies in a different box than like,
I think
they're like, it's okay for horror movies to have bad characters, and like they don't like put them to the same standards.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I feel like both horror and comedies are kind of treated as like the second grade thing, where it's like,
the
elements can be shitty, but as long as I'm entertained on some baseline way, that's fine. I actually find that when you actually do put in the work to make it quality, it is an effective horror movie.
Yes, but like, I feel like there's rom-coms, right? Like, there are good rom-coms that we still don't really call, like, good movies, but there's, like, When Harry Met Sally, which I think crosses that boundary into, like, seminal movie.
Yeah, I don't know. We're getting into, like, it's sort of an argument over, like, what is a good movie again?
Yeah, I guess, but like, I feel like The Exorcist it walks a finer line between genres, and so does like a ghost story movie like The Innocents, where there's a lot of, there's like, because again, there's like, there's sub-genres of horror that are like psychological or like.
I see what you're saying, though, I think, it's like at a certain level, horror movies that are like lauded to be these like amazing movies are also considered to be like genre crossover.
Yeah.
And like even the three of us, I think it was also last year we watched Babadook. And
yeah.
I found that movie to be terrifying.
Yeah.
I think, but like,
but people will name elements of that are, they're saying like, well, this also makes it a drama or this.
Well,
and
it does.
I think at its core though, it's a very well done horror movie.
Agreed.
It is, but it's like a it's like how you classify things, and it's like, did someone that made, did the person that like made The Innocents, like when, before this may have been like a considered like a, an actual genre, were they like, I'm gonna make a horror movie, or were they like, I'm gonna tell this story?
It's based off of a short story, yeah, which is a ghost story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like, they didn't really make it with the intent of like being, like, they were adapting a story that was scary, so they were like, how do we make this spooky on screen, and adapt the story faithfully. But like, if people nowadays, I feel like they go out and say, like, I'm gonna make a ghost story or a slasher film or a, like, they make them with intent. Like, I don't know if The Exorcist was like, I'm gonna make a movie in the horror genre.
Well, it's based off a book too.
It's interesting, isn't it, though? Because I wonder if sometimes, to pick up on your note about the, like, oh, this movie has strong characters or whatever, and that's not normally seen in horror movies, I wonder if a part of that is just because, is it easier to have a shitty character so that an audience member is more easily scared because they can project themselves onto
this blank
slate character?
Well, no, I think it's, like, good action movies where, like, if the action is good, I don't care if the acting is bad. Mm. Like, if the movie scares me, I don't care if it doesn't look as nice,
right,
or it doesn't have well-drawn-out characters. I think, like, people go see these movies with, like, a thing that they want, like, a specific list of things that, like, I want these things to happen. And I don't care if, like, if the criteria of, like, a normal movie that I would judge, but, like, I want, like, good characters or whatever. I mean, people, maybe people that watch movies don't have those standards for other movies anyways, but, like,
I mean, because I feel like you're kind of getting into an argument, which is, like, can horror movies be art?
Yes! Totally! I think
so. I'm not literally asking you that question. I'm saying it seems like that, like, the argument that you're posing...
Well, no, I think that, like, there... When you look at that, like, I don't want to, like, talk about, like, can they be art or not. Like, really. I just have this, like... I think there's this perception that horror movies, there's a lot of shit ones.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. And going back to, like, rom-coms.
Yeah, it's the same with rom-coms. And there are a lot of shit ones. Like, I feel like it's a genre that, like rom-coms, gets classified as, like, not as inherently likely to be good.
I think it's also a genre like rom-coms that can be often done on the cheap and ergo does not need a lot of money.
I think
money.
There's a big flooded market for both of them.
What were the other things that we'd sort of... We had briefly talked about this beforehand. You, Lee, were talking about movies that scare you versus horror movies that don't scare you.
Yeah, I think people have different things that they're scared by. That's why there's a lot of subgenres out there. Mm-hmm. But, like, I know we were saying that, like, some of us here are scared by, like, serial killer movies, and some of us are more scared by, like, other... Like, I will watch slasher movies like the Jason fellow.
That Jason fellow.
That was what they called it in England, right?
Mm-hmm.
They imported.
So, okay, wait. Halloween is Michael Myers.
Friday the 13th is Jason.
I honestly have
Street
such,
is Freddy.
Like, again, I've seen them, but I have such poor memory of them because, like, they kind of, like, all run together for me. And, like,
I get it.
They're all about, like, people getting chased by a man with a knife or something.
Except for Halloween 3. Season of the Witch.
Yeah, which I feel like I was recently watching, like, I think that they have there's a suspense level there that they can hit for me. Like, there's, like, certain shots, I can't remember which movie it might be, but, like, where, like, the killer might be, like, in the background the whole time, and it's like, ooh, that's spooky.
Yeah,
that gets
that's
me
spooky.
Too.
No one sees them.
Because it's sort of like a dramatic irony moment, right?
Yeah.
There were three, actually, I just rewatched three of them the past couple weeks that hold up really well for me are the Scream movies.
All three of them?
Well, the third one is the weakest.
Yeah. Well, so is the fourth.
I've only seen the fourth one once. I remember liking the fourth because of what it, like, of the focus on reboot culture.
Yeah,
I thought was clever. I haven't seen it. I'm going to watch it again. But the first one holds up really well.
Oh,
I have to say.
Wonderful.
And, like, the risk of, like, going all film critic-y, like, I enjoy, like, I appreciate, like, the weird postmodern sensibility that it has to it. It's like, you know, like, it's a slasher movie, but it works better for me because, like, everyone in the movie is familiar with slasher movies, and they can comment and be like, this is what we have to do to avoid getting killed, and, like, you know, it's a little bit funny in that sense also.
Right.
So there's more for me to sort of hang on to than there would be in maybe just a movie about a guy with a knife killing people.
The first, I really like the first two Scream movies. The first one's legitimately very scary,
yeah,
while also staying a half step away from comedy most of the time. Especially for that time, putting in that kind of meta commentary was, like, mind-blowing.
Oh, no, it was.
Yeah.
It was, like, the first time that we had sort of done, like, a postmodern sort of horror movie.
Yeah.
It was a genre that, like, no one really cared about at the time because, like, it had lapsed into self-parody at that
Even
point.
Even the opening sequence was really, like, a big deal because a movie of that time would have not put Drew Barrymore in the opening and then killed her almost immediately.
See, I it's strange because I see that argument all the time online, and it always reminds me of Psycho, which is weird because people always seem to call out Scream on that, and it reminds me so much of Janet Leigh in Psycho getting killed off in like the first, what, like 15 minutes or something.
Good point.
Which is not to say that it's still not like, you know, a shock to like see Drew Barrymore get killed when she's billed so highly and on the poster and all this stuff, but just, you know, it is drawing from previous, also very effective slasher movies. Psycho, again, well, it's more than, I suppose, a slasher movie because there's really not... Once you get past the initial, like, slashing, there's not a whole lot of that until end.
It's more of a psychological horror.
Yeah.
I'd like to briefly touch on Hitchcock because, like, there is horror in being creeped out, and then there's, like, suspense, which is just, like, obviously Hitchcock was a master.
Right.
And
so, I mean, like, again, that's kind of what I assume is Silence of the Lambs. Like,
yeah.
Like, is it a horror movie or is it, like, a thriller suspense movie?
Is this sort of where where the waters get very muddy? Because I think a lot of these a lot of those can coexist within one movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is like where it gets problematic to break down things by genre.
It's a distinct feeling. I get.
Yeah, right.
So the one of the like most suspenseful moments for me in watching Hitchcock is there's like a moment where in Notorious where she's infiltrating like a Nazi, after the war's ended, like a Nazi enclave, like in some Latin American country.
Mm-hmm.
And she's married like a Nazi guy. And he's eventually found out that like she's spying on the FBI, like she's spying on him for the FBI. And she's meeting with like Cary Grant outside of like her, you know, to like share information. So like they find out and they don't do anything immediately. What they do is they start like poisoning her tea. So it's very slowly, she starts getting like sick and she has no idea that she's being killed. And there's a moment where like, she has this realization that she's being poisoned, and she's like, it's so tensely drawn out of like, she's not sure if they've picked up on it yet. And they're like, oh, do you want your tea? And she's like, she can barely move at this point because she's really groggy. And it's like such a tense, like the way it's shot of like everyone looking at her from like, in like her point of view of like how they're looking at her. And the other one is in, the Jimmy Stewart one, Rear Window.
Oh yeah.
When he's looking at the guy across the street who's killed the woman, and like he like looks down the telescope or the binoculars, and the guy's looking like right back.
Yeah, the guy turns and looks him in the face.
Yeah,
it's such a good shot.
And then the slow wait for like him to come over to the building where like you hear the footsteps coming, and he's so good.
It's horrifying.
And that's not the same feeling as like The Woman in Black, where Daniel Radcliffe is just like looking at this old musty house, and then in the background you just see a shadow move, and you're like, "What the fuck?
Yeah,
the fuck was that?"
By the way, Lady in Black or Woman in Black?
Woman in Black.
Woman in Black. Lady in Black is different.
Oh, sorry. I actually thought it was pretty good.
No,
I think that was a good. It was a return to form of like,
it's like Hammer horror.
Right. Yeah. Well, it is Hammer horror.
Yeah,
Which is, and I have a lot of affection for the Hammer movies because a lot of them tend to be like gory and ridiculous, but I appreciate that. We watched Sleepy Hollow the other night, which is like Tim Burton's homage to Hammer
horror. What did you guys think?
I love Sleepy Hollow. I legitimately do. Like, I acknowledge the faults in it, but I could watch that movie like a lot.
I'm so glad to hear you say that because I think, generally speaking, it's a really enjoyable movie.
Yeah, no, it aspires to be nothing more than what it is, which is like a big budget Hammer horror movie. It's got, you know, it's got lots of blood, it's got Tim Burton's collection of creepy old men, and like, it's just like, it's like a fun twist on like a story that you all know, which is what a lot of the Hammer horror movies were, and I find it very, very watchable. Like, honestly, I will watch it again before Halloween comes because, like, I just really like that movie.
On the note about kind of like suspense and where that kind of fits in with the horror thing, I saw a horror movie recently that pretty much built its house on suspense but was still a horror movie, and it was called The Invitation, which I don't remember if I mentioned that to you guys or not.
I think I've seen that.
It's on Netflix, or was until very recently, but the whole setup is, this guy is going with his new girlfriend to a dinner party being thrown by his ex-wife and her new husband in the house that he used to share with her. And when he and his girlfriend show up, his wife and her husband, something seems to be a little bit off. They talk about this like grief counseling group that they met in, and they show them this like recruitment video that ends with like a member of their group, of that grief counseling group, dying in the presence of all the group's members, and they're like inhaling her spirit, or that's what they claim that they're doing. And then it ends, and the rest of the movie is that night continuing on with the main character sort of living in his own head and trying to figure out, are they in a cult? Are they going to be doing something sinister? Are they currently trying to do something sinister to us? Or is it just me feeling resentful that she could have moved on? And there are so many legitimately frightening parts of that, and it comes from such a simple, very stripped down, but psychological place. And I found it, I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. I was in such high tension.
Going back sort of to what we had also discussed earlier, Lee had brought up the idea of, like, you're not too afraid of a slasher movie, but
yeah,
more on
so like,
so
I,
what I kind of want to say is maybe speak on that. And then, also I kind of want to talk...
It's like copyrighted, isn't it?
Yes.
We can't really say that.
Oh God, edit that out. There's so much you have to edit out.
We can't co-opt another podcast.
So
that's much better than ours.
Yes. Discuss this. Then I thought we would also sort of just talk about the idea of like what you find unsettling in a horror movie. Mm. So like Lee, start out by like prefacing your thing that you were saying.
Yeah. So I definitely like the things that have scared me most are... I would guess I would call them ghost stories, but not limited to. But, like, definitely things that I don't believe in could happen in real life are the most scary to me. And they stay with me after I watch the movie. Like, there have been movies where I legitimately could not sleep. Like, I don't know if horror movies affect you guys in similar ways, like, outside of the movie. Or if
sometimes
the sensation ends after the movie. But, like, the worst horror movies were, like, make me question ever watching a horror movie for a while. Like... Because of what they do. Like, yeah, the Babadook, I stayed home from work the next day. It was a Sunday night, I think. And I didn't sleep until, like, 5 a.m. with the lights on.
The Babadook was that movie that had the three of us doing kind of monkey see, monkey hear.
No. Try again.
Sorry.
See no evil.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Had us doing monkey see, monkey do.
So,
no,
sorry.
Hear no evil, see no evil.
Speak no evil.
Yes.
That during this movie, each of us, at one moment, one of us had... I know, I fucked it up. I don't know why I was crossed.
Keep going. You're great.
One of us had, like, hands over their ears, another one were covering their mouth, and the other one was covering their eyes, all at the same time. Just, it was... Because that's a tough movie.
It is a tough movie.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of me covering my ears, I'll get into that later in depth, but, like, about why I do that in
horror
movies.
They freak you out more than the visual.
So, yeah, I guess I feel like that might be a separate thing, but, like, for sure the things that scare me, the concepts that scare me are, like, the unknown. And I think I was trying to, like, do, like, some, like, psychotherapy on myself as to, like, why ghosts are scary, but, like, real, like, killers are not scary to me. And I think it's because, like, I don't really think it's gonna happen in real life, but, like, there's this sensation that, like, ghosts are, like, almost this personification of, like, fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it's somewhat unclear in some of these horror movies with ghosts, like, what physical threat does a ghost actually pose to you? Or, like, what's the worst thing a ghost could do? Like, sometimes they can physically harm you, or they, like, take your soul, or you're some mystical threat of, like, they take your soul. I think in The Woman in Black, like, she kills kids, right?
Yes,
she makes the kids kill themselves. And if you didn't have a kid, theoretically, like, you have no reason to fear, right?
But I think it's like, the horror
theoretically
of...
Yeah.
But it's fucking scary as hell to see her in the movie, like...
Yeah.
And it's even scary in that movie where I think there's a shot of him standing in, like, a hallway, and you just see the lights start to blink out as it gets closer to him. Like, even just that was so simple, but I was just like, gah!
The thing is like, after that movie, when it's, like, nighttime, you're trying to sleep, and your reason starts to slip away from you, and you're like, the woman in black is real. She's gonna come and take my kid that I don't have? Like, what was I afraid of? Like, it's like, I think they just sort of represent this, like, fear, and there's no real defense against something that is, like, incorporeal and does nothing really functionally but to scare the shit out of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, if it was a serial killer, like, it's a scary scenario to find yourself in real life, but, like, I know what to do. I could run away from that person and try to fight back or whatever. I'd feel like if it's the unknown and I don't know what to do about it, then it's more...
You're seeing it more as, like, in one situation, you have options in how you can address something, but in another, you're unequipped, no tools.
Yeah, unequipped, and, like, I don't know, like, if there is any recourse in that
right.
in those sort of scenarios, like... And it is sort of, like, it also maybe, like, with the Babadook, I think especially, because it was, I guess, like, it could be classified as a ghost story, but also just, like, a purely psychological movie, depending on how you think about it. Along with the idea of being afraid of fear is the fragility of your mind and, like, what you believe. Because that movie is pretty much about a woman who, like, on the verge of, like, losing her mind the entire time.
It really does kind of leave it up for interpretation, right? Because it's... Either the Babadook is a monster that is sort of the personification of her, I guess, very extended postpartum and grief, or it is entirely...
It's living
in
the basement
head.
And they feed it worms at the end.
Right.
I don't think it's in her head.
Like, it has to have a presence.
Yeah.
But I do think it drives her insane, because it definitely plays with the idea of... each night she's getting less and less sleep, and so her grip on everything is just, like, weaker and weaker.
Yeah.
So, Chris, what do you find unsettling?
Psychological horror really, really, really gets to me.
Is it from that time when I was gaslighting you?
Exactly. When you...
I'm sorry about that. I don't know any more times I can say I'm sorry at this point.
When you kept telling me that, like, the doctor said it would act that way after the accident. It was just devastating.
Yeah, not...
Horror movies that have really amazing visuals, or even especially abstract ones that can kind of pull me in a little bit more, where I'm attracted to the beautiful thing I'm seeing, even if it's also repulsing me at the same time. A really good example of that would be Bryan Singer did that Hannibal series that I think is still on Netflix.
It's not Bryan Singer.
Yeah.
No, Bryan Singer did X-Men.
Sorry, not Bryan Singer.
Bryan Fuller.
But that's right. Sorry. The Hannibal series that Bryan Fuller did, where it's visually unbelievable to look at, but it's also very disturbing. There are times where you're... Like, there's times when you're just looking at bodies that are in shapes and in ways that they should not be, but you're still like, on the one hand, really interesting, but on the other hand, completely disgusting and I'm horrified. So I guess ones that kind of try to, like, bleed the lines of maybe what someone's perception of reality is while also giving me some, like, something beautiful yet terrible to look at.
Is it beautiful or terrible? Or is it, like, there's this, there's a fascination I think people have with, like, watching, like, it's, like, rubbernecking accidents and, like, oh, I have to, like, I can't tear my eyes away from this awful thing. I think that's, like, a human
thing. Yes and no. Thing. It's... What I'm trying to express is, in both Black Swan and in Hannibal, what you're seeing is so ridiculous that, and kind of, like, very big and sometimes over the top, that I don't think I'm fascinated necessarily by that. It's just, like, I don't like looking at those kind of things. Like, rubbernecking is not something I enjoy doing. So I don't know. I don't think it's a fascination with the terribleness itself. It's I'm just being drawn to something beautiful that is also disgusting at the same time. So
Brandon, for me, yeah. I'm like Lee, who is more afraid of sort of the supernatural than per se any sort of realistic threat. I'm a real, like, cowardy custard, and I'm afraid of everything. So Like for me, whenever I see Zodiac, which I love watching, it still leaves me very unsettled at the end of the movie. Like, I know, obviously, like...
See, I get that Hitchcock suspense from when he's in the house with that guy that he thinks might be the killer.
Yeah.
But I don't get... It's not like a fear. It's just like a...
I feel the
this
fear.
Is tense.
Well, for me, it's exactly also just that, like, because, you know, there is a semblance of these things do happen in real life.
Yeah.
It sort of freaks me out. And also just because, like, I've always had, like, a long-standing fascination with the supernatural and ghosts and that sort of thing. Like, I just find it sort of interesting to always read up about. I don't necessarily believe it.
Yeah.
But, like, I like to read about it and just sort of, you know, see what's out there. Like, like, ever since I was a kid, that's been something that I've been really big on. So,
I will say, like, I like reading supernatural fiction, and I like... ghost stories. I flat out don't believe in ghosts or really anything supernatural because, like, again, I just need in real life, in the real world, like, I need some sort of, like, I can't just read something and believe it. Like, I need some sort of evidence or, like,
yeah, I get what you mean.
And it's not, like, hard evidence, scientific. I'm not like, I need scientific proof, but, like.
But I think what Brendan's saying is just fascinating, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm more interested in, like, purported real life stories of the supernatural. I find that interesting to read, even if
I'm
not necessarily
kind of interesting,
believing what they're
but
saying.
I flat out don't believe
like,
it.
I've read the Mothman Prophecies book, and I don't believe it, but I think it's, like, really neat to
it
be.
It was
like,
a good read.
Yeah.
I sort of have. I don't know. The movie's not supposed to be that good, but I kind
it's
of.
Not
like the movie.
It's
not
that
good.
I kind of like
it. I rewatched it, like, a couple months ago.
There's moments
of
that are.
Where he's on the phone.
Chapstick.
Yeah.
And then he throws the phone to the other side of the room.
They filmed that at the hospital where my dad works, or used to work.
Wow, really?
Yeah. It was a lot of it was filmed in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
And then the other thing I remember is when the guy's like, 37, we'll die. He says like the number, the way he says it is like sort of like happily self.
It's
matter-of-factly.
It's a weirder book than it is a movie, because the movie tends to put, like, this narrative story throughout there that the book doesn't have. The book is just like, here's a thing that happened, here's a thing that happened, here's a thing that happened. The movie's like, this led to this, led to this, led to this, led to this.
Yeah.
It's which, obviously, like, you need to do when you're making a movie, otherwise you just have random events happening.
The book was almost more effective in that way, though, because it kept you disoriented.
Right, I mean, it's a book, so you can get away with that sort of crap.
Yeah.
But for me, what really unsettles me, I think, most is the tone of what you're going for. Like, I like an uneasy tone. tone in mm-hmm. my movies. So mm-hmm. two movies that aren't per se horror movies, but still I find very effective in terms of a very unsettling tone, Crimson Peak
yeah.
and Picnic at Hanging Rock. Whereas Crimson Peak was billed, as we may remember, as a horror movie, when it is, in fact, as they say in the opening, a gothic romance.
Yeah, that it's happens not to have really this. A horror.
I was thinking about Crimson Peak and trying to put it in. Then what was the second one?
Picnic at Hanging Rock.
Okay, I haven't heard that one.
It's an Australian, it's an Australian movie from around the time in, like, I believe the late 70s when we were really into Australian cinemas when the first Mad Max came
right.
out.
Right.
It's a Picnic at Hanging Rock. It's a story, it's based, again, off of a novel about several schoolgirls and, like, a couple of chaperones who go to have a picnic at this Hanging Rock, which is a rock in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the girls go off on their own to explore the rock, and they just disappear. And no one knows what happens to them. They don't find them. And the movie just sort of, like, leaves you at the end being like, well, they're disappeared, and we don't know what happened. And so if you go in looking right. for, like, answers, you're going to be very disappointed. But if you go in looking for just this sort of, like, it really kind of boils down to... Well, it boils down to me as this sort of, like, unsettling, like, kind of like a metaphor for, like, people going to a place where they don't understand. Where, like, obviously these are, like, English schoolgirls who are in Australia, like, who are not native to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of, like, them coming across, like, this, like, native land and just sort of being, like, swallowed up by it. It's, like,
wow.
coming across something that they did not understand and, you know, all for the worse. So, while it's not necessarily a conventional horror movie, because ostensibly, like, the scary thing, obviously, is, you know, people disappear, and that's a scary thing, but there's no solution ever provided. It's unsettling to watch that movie, because the entire time, you're just left with the feeling that something's off, and that's what I think I like the most in a horror movie. I like the sense that there is something very, very wrong with what's happening.
I like that.
Can I?
And which is, even if they're on screen, you're like, well, I'm not seeing anything overtly wrong, I just get this feeling of just wrongness from it.
Oh, yeah.
Such a good point.
That's an interesting thing. Like, what you said about going into a native land and that not coming across something they don't understand. So there's, like, there's probably some movies about this, but the thing that came to mind was a video game I played called Life is Planet. But, like, I think this is a big thing that is done a lot with sci-fi, and there are probably some sci-fi horrors that I'm not thinking of that are like this, where it's, like, we find something, like, it's like a space, like, there's us, there's space men, astronauts mm-hmm. or whatever, and they, like, are on a new planet, are in space, and they just come across something, like, alien.
Right.
Like, unknown.
Right.
I think there's an instant, like, fear of anything alien that we find, because,
yeah.
like, we have no idea. Like,
right.
is it alive? And we don't know that it's alive. How do we know? Like,
it is
so,
the
it can
unknown.
Be anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I think it connects to, like, Lovecraft and, like, Eldritch Horror.
Right.
It's, like, this unknowable thing, and that's horrifying because it's unknown.
Yeah. And, like...
So as soon as you have a story like that, like, no matter where you go with it, there's, like, even if you don't want to tell, like, a horror story, there's this sense of, like, unease because of it's foreign.
Right. Like, for me also, I've always kind of been interested in, like, the Roanoke colony in Virginia.
Yes!
Just, like, how, like, because it's, like, similar to that. Like, there's a colony, and they disappeared, and we don't know what happened to
and
them.
And the only clue we have is Croatoan.
Right, and there's probably, like, you know, and there's probably a very mundane answer as to what it is. But, like,
yeah.
nonetheless, it's the fact that, like, this thing happened. These people went to a place where they were not familiar with, and now they're just gone.
Which is interesting you'd bring that up, because American Horror Story is tackling that this season, and they are not doing a good job.
Thumbs down, thumbs down.
Like, Roanoke, or...?
They're doing the Roanoke colony story, but they... Very long story short, they essentially put, like, two framing devices and on over it, and it's needlessly obscuring the story.
Okay.
What I think, I wanted to just sort of go around, are there any horror movies you guys want to recommend? Because I jotted down a few because I came prepared for
things. Why don't you start us off?
Okay, cool. So,
don't mind if I do.
You eager beaver.
Shut up and listen. So, we had already mentioned previously, of course, The Exorcist and The Innocents, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot recommend that enough. Sleepy Hollow, also a huge fan, Scream. The ones that I did not mention, I watched the 1931 Dracula by Todd Browning yesterday, or Sunday, and I was surprised at how well it held up, honestly,
wow.
for, like, a movie from the 1930s and for something that was done on, like, a relatively small budget.
Mm-hmm.
It works very well. So I have to say, like, if you're interested in something older, definitely check that out, or The Silent Nosferatu. The other, obviously, Night of the Living Dead is a big thing for me, being from Pittsburgh, zombie capital of the world, has more zombie attacks per capita than any other city in the world. Something Wicked This Way Comes from 1983.
Yes!
And 1985's Fright Night. Don't see the remake. It's not as good.
It's
the
not.
Original one... But actually, the original one has what I kind of wanted to go into really quickly. There were a lot of... In the 80s, there were a lot of horror movies with coded gays, where there were, like, a bunch of sidekicks who were, like, gay, but they weren't gay. Like, you know, they were clearly very into, like, their best friend, but it wasn't ever explicitly stated as a sexual thing. And it's always sort of weird because the movie always, well, I don't, it's not, weird is not the word I'm looking for, but the movie always feels a need to sort of dispatch with these characters
right.
before the ending. So they're the ones who get killed off, or in the case of Fright Night, they get turned into a vampire. And it's sort of an interesting study if you're looking for examples of coded gay people in 80s cinema. So that's probably an episode unto itself. But anyhow, Lee or Chris?
So I'd like to talk about the Eye, I guess. The original Eye. Not the one with... I don't know. They remade it in the US and it's awful. But that is one of the spookiest ghost movies where I think I don't even know that the ghost can do anything to this person. But like, I'm just... It was terrifying. But it's basically about a blind woman who gets an eye transplant and she gets these eyes that can see. But she got eye transplant from like a ghost seeing lady or something. So like... Her new eyes that she's seeing for the first time with can also see ghosts.
Hong Kong and Singapore joint venture.
Yeah, I think it's that sounds about right. So it's got so many like amazingly tense ghost scenes. My one of the ones that really stands out is like when she gets into an elevator and it's got that like sort of chrome like half reflected thing where like light and color reflects but not shade, like not like outlines, and like she's facing the front of the elevator and then like behind her the sort of like. She can see in front of her, like, there's this color sort of, like, materializes into form in the chrome. And she's already known at this point that, like, she's seeing, like, some weird fucking ghost shit. So she's, like, terrified. And it's cuts to, like, a wide shot of, like, it's in the elevator. It's just, like, this half-naked old man, like, staring at the wall in the corner. And, like, he's on the opposite corner from her. And it's, like, that's already terrifying. Like, people staring at walls is just creepy. We know this. And, like...
We all know this.
It's such a long scene of him, like, edging, like, so that he's, like, getting directly behind her, like, to the other corner. And then he, like, backs into her, like, but he's not turning around to face her. And you're, like, oh, my God, what's gonna happen? And I won't really say, like, how that scene ends. But, like, it's just tense. Like, what is the threat there? I don't know. Like, what's he gonna do? But I think it's a perfect example of the kind of thing that really gets to me. And I don't think that there was anything physical that the ghost could do in that movie. Other ones, I think The Woman in Black I talked about was liking. The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Yeah.
Nice
I like
spooky,
Dr. Caligari.
That's a great one.
Spooky silent movie for you.
Yeah.
The Innkeepers.
Oh, yeah.
Really I like that one.
I enjoy The Innkeepers.
Me too.
So the two movies I lost sleep on were The Babadook, and I don't exactly know why. This may have been external circumstances, but I didn't find The Witch scary when we
the
were Vavitch. Watching it. The Vavitch.
Please.
Yeah. I didn't find it scary at the time, and then I couldn't sleep at night.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I kept having,
ghost
like,
music!
I kept having, like, every time I would lie down, my heart would start racing, and this happens sometimes apropos of nothing, but, like, and I couldn't stop thinking of, like, the images of that goat in the candlelight at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, it was creepy.
It was very creepy. I would say The Witch
My
was...
My parents hated that movie.
I didn't think it was really a horror. I did like it, but I didn't find it to be a horror.
They really hated it. They texted... I think they called me afterwards to go from the theater and tell me how much they hated
it. Do they have any reasons? Like, why
I just think...
So
I'm not sure if they didn't find it. I think my mom found it hard to understand. She has trouble with, like, English accents sometimes in general, and I think she just found the dialogue it's, like, hard to get, but I don't think they found it scary. It just did nothing for them.
Yeah.
I feel like we all kind of took turns recommending The Babadook, so I'll just throw that up there. My recommendations were the Hannibal series. They're a really good horror series. Black Swan. I find that to be a really terrifying horror movie. The Invitation, like I also said, that's a really excellent one.
Give us something new, Chris.
I'm trying. I'm reading through it.
I said everyone should come prepared with horror movies.
You did. And
I gave you homework.
You did, and I did do it, and I thought, like, Chris, you don't need to write them down. You can
Someone's being demoted to barback.
You're next. That's a definitely really good exception of a slasher movie that does terrify me. I guess it's more of a home invasion movie, but... So yeah, You're Next if you want to see people in creepy animal masks. I also saw that movie that was sort of recent, Don't Breathe, which was actually also a pretty effective horror movie.
Was it really?
Yes.
I've heard
it sounded
that.
Cheesy.
The story is cheesy as hell, but it's actually a pretty effective horror.
So The Woman No One's Talked About, but that is regarded as a good movie, and I think I saw a scene of it that evoked some real creeps, was that one where the thing that follows you but it walks?
I was going to say that one.
The one where it follows?
I got you.
I cannot believe I didn't say that, because I was just thinking, like, oh my god, say
That's
it follows.
That's the perfect example of the thing in the background that you know is coming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and... That movie manages to be terrifying even as it never runs, it never rushes,
you just see it,
it's implacable, it is always walking towards you.
Yeah.
Alright, well, thank you guys for participating in this with me and talking about horror movies.
You know what? You're welcome.
Aw, shucks.
You're so welcome.
Join us in 2 weeks when we talk about Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula for Halloween. It's going to be really exciting when we're vampire fangs the whole time, and I'm not going to take them out for any reason. until then, we will see you guys. Enjoy your sangrias and enjoy the month of October. It's great.
That was my out.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.
We're so sorry, skeletons. You're so misunderstood. You only.